Like to invite you over to the Old Testament book of Jonah. Old Testament book of Jonah, chapter 1 and verse 5.
Jonah, chapter 1, verse 5 reads this way. It says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, this time we come before you asking that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. Lord, may we be reminded and may it be brought to the forefront of our thinking that we are here to worship you. And Lord, that we don't just go on automatic pilot, but that we would open up our hearts and call upon you, Lord, to speak to us. Lord, that you might guide us into your truth and that we might have a better understanding of where we are in our relationship with you. And Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, may this be the day that they know you, Lord. And then, Lord, for those of us who do know you, I pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and minds and understanding as to how you would have us walk by your grace and power. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is found right there at the bottom of our verse, "And he lay and was fast asleep." And he lay and was fast asleep. Now, there's never a problem with getting some sleep when you need rest, amen? But here's a problem here, and that was because he was neglecting the calling of God on his life. He was God's ambassador, and he was running away from his calling. He was not looking to follow the Lord, but he was running from it. I wonder today, if the believer in Christ understands his position and his calling, every believer has been called. Now, in that little introduction right there, if we're not careful, we get to the place, "Well, I don't like what the preacher's saying." Just shut him off. I don't like it. Turn the channel. Right? And that's not the way it works when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. We want to be submissive to Him and realize this, that our ways are not always His ways. In fact, I would dare say, unless we look for His ways, we'll never walk in them. They will be our ways. And a lot of times, God doesn't think the way that we do. Now, we can be resting assured that we're thinking the right way if we're following what God has said. That's how we can rest assured that we're walking and understanding His ways. And I will tell you this, don't look to the world for the answers. You won't find them there. We've been saved from the world. That's what we've been saved from. So if we're looking to the world for its entertainment and its ideology and its philosophy and its thought, and by the way, just a reminder, philosophy is for the love of wisdom, but it might be the wrong wisdom that we're looking at, we'll miss God's calling on our life as a saved child of God. Let me remind you, 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verse 20 reads this way. It says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." This is speaking of believers. "As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." That's the important part. We're not the righteousness of God in us. We are the righteousness of God in Him and never apart from Him. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, "But ye," speaking of the saved people, "but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You will not find the things of God on, I was going to say, the Phil Donahue show. I don't think he's got a show anymore. The Dr. Phil show. Or any of these celebrities that are in Hollywood. Somebody, I just saw a little, I can't even remember the guy's name, but he's on a game show. He's come up with his own Christianity. Yeah, just he leaves all that Christian stuff out of it. But he's got his own church now. He just doesn't want the Christian stuff in it. The stuff about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I dare say that's another gospel. And I would dare say it's the wrong one. And so we need to be careful as believers what we're following, and that we're not laying and being fast asleep when we're supposed to be vigilant and occupying until the Lord comes. So this morning, I want to consider a couple of things as we look at the life of Jonah and what was happening here. And I want you to see, first of all, God's call and commission, four thoughts, and then Jonah's carnality and the mariners. And then thirdly, we'll see Jonah's confession and repentance. And then lastly, we'll look at Jonah's cry. So let's look at God's call and commission in verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." God has given the great commission to the church. And the church is not this building. The church is this the person you look at in the mirror. You're part of the body of Christ. Now, you're not a church all by yourself, but it's been given to us as individual believers in a collective body of believers, to the local New Testament church, to propagate the gospel and to allow Christ to live in and through our lives. And you can't do that asleep. No more can you do that than could you expect to learn anything asleep. Now, I know they say, oh, listen, you know, just listen to this at night and it'll absorb. I don't think that works. All right, I think there might be something to it, but I promise you, if you were trying to study for something that was really important to you, you wouldn't just play a tape at night and rely on that alone. You're not going to make it. I promise you that. You're going to on purpose look at what you need to learn, or you're not going to learn it. That might help. I would encourage you this: if you want to fall asleep to something, fall asleep to the Bible. Right? You can find it on audio all over the place now. And that's a good thing to do. But what God is going to point out here is you cannot go in the opposite direction and run away from the things of God and expect to be found faithful when He returns. Now, the child of God, I hope, has the desire to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I believe if you're saved, you really desire to do that. And again, I want to remind you, you're not going to find that from lost people, anybody that's lost. And you're not going to find that from Hollywood. I'm not saying that actors years ago were any better than the actors today as far as their character. But boy, oh boy, it was not often that you heard of all the garbage that you hear of going on today in the Hollywood lifestyle. They're not covering it up. There's no shame. And it is digressing. And everywhere you go, it seems like their main thrust and theme is to be abominable in their actions and the things that they do and say and how they behave. They're not even hiding it anymore. But that goes a lot to say about our society. It's not just Hollywood. It's our society. We have lost common courtesy. You remember common courtesy? That means you opened up the door for people. Now we offend people by doing things that are common courtesy. We would consider when we enter the highway, and if you're already on the highway, moving over so another person can merge and get on. No, not today. We might want to even kind of secretly watch them run into the guardrail. I mean, I'm telling you, there are people out there that are either so wrapped up in themselves that they have no thought for anybody else. You cannot be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and be wrapped up in yourself. It's never going to happen. If you are more important than what God wants, you won't be found faithful. And I would dare say you might want to consider your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to scare anybody into thinking they're lost. At the very least, if we're self-absorbed, there's a problem in our relationship with the Lord, even as a saved child of God. We see that here in the life of Jonah. I believe he was saved. There's no doubt about it. God wouldn't have called him. But so God gave him a call and a commission to go to the people of Nineveh. And what does he do? Well, in verse 3, we find he became very carnal. And then we see what happens to the mariners. And they make a cry. Listen, the lost world needs to hear and see the glory of God in your life and mine. We are the light and the salt of the world. And if the light and the salt has lost its light and its savor, it will do nothing for the world. Listen, you may not believe it. They don't even realize it, but the world is crying out for help and hope that only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice verse 3. And the reason why I say that is people don't have the purpose of life. Did you realize this? And I was not aware of this. But more young people are committing suicide. I heard of a suicide from a 9-year-old that they contemplated at 9 years old taking their life. Why at 9 years old is the life today that hopeless? Yes, it is. Without God, it is. And we have more entertainment, we have more gadgets, and we have more things to preoccupy our time and our minds, and people are given to those things, and they're still without hope. There's still no satisfaction or gratification in that. So the world needs the only one hope, and that is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, if you're familiar with Tarshish, it's at the other end of the Mediterranean Sea. You know where Israel is at, right? All the way to the east. You're going all the way over to Spain to go over there. And Nineveh is kind of northeast from where Joppa was, which is where Jonah went down to find an exit from the call of God on his life. So it says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. Did you hear that? Listen, there are people that are paying the fare to run from God. There are people that are paying a price to run from God. They are investing in order to run away from the Lord. And so he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And notice how much the Lord is saying that he's looking to run from the presence of God. He's wanting to run away from the presence of God. May I tell you what heaven's all about? The presence of God. I promise you. Listen, you know where the blessings are at in your prayer life? In the presence of God. You want to know where the blessings are at in your Bible reading? The presence of God. You need the presence of God to open up and guide you into all the truth. He's running away. Listen, do you know where your salvation was found? In the presence of God. Do you know where your joy will be found? In the presence of God. And people are running and paying to flee from the presence of God. And by the way, God's people are paying a price to run from the presence of God. Oh, listen, they might attend a church meeting, but in their hearts and minds, they're paying a price to run from the presence of God, and they're appeasing their consciences because they attended a church service, but the presence of God is missing from their life. And so here we find Jonah running from the presence of God. Listen, he left a name for himself. He did. It's an unfortunate name. Have you ever heard anybody call their child Jonah? And if they did have that name, it wasn't considered fortunate. He left a reputation, and his name is not a good one. And so what happens as he's running from the presence of God, verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Listen, that is evidence that God loved Jonah. And I want you to know God was merciful to Jonah. God wanted him to understand the truth. Jonah did not, at the end of the story, you'll find out, we leave Jonah mad with God. We leave him maybe with a little bit more understanding, a little bit more wisdom, but he did not want what God wanted in his life. He did not want what God wanted in the lives of others, specifically the people of Nineveh, and that was salvation. He was put out with God. He was waiting for God to wipe them out. And that is not the right heart for a child of God. But he was merciful to him. So here comes this big tempest in the sea in verse 4. And the boat was like to be broken. Can you imagine that? Listen, I've been on a boat in a storm, on a 40-foot boat, where it was coming up out of the water. Both sides were coming up out of the water, and I was definitely very concerned. But it did not feel like the boat was going to be broken, but I was very concerned. And I want you to know, listen, I can't imagine being in a storm with a boat that feels like it's about to be broken. Listen, when you come up over a wave and you hit, it's like hitting concrete when you hit that water at the bottom. It jars the whole boat. And I can't imagine what he must have been going through here. But he was sleeping. So notice the mariners, they had some sense. Look at verse 5. The mariners were afraid. They know. Listen, if the sailor's afraid, you better be afraid. If the sailor with experience has been in storms, listen, you know why? This storm was like none other they've ever been in. Because God, listen, I'm not saying they weren't in a storm as bad as that, but when God is in that storm, there's fear. Because it was God in that storm that drove fear. And that's important. And you'll see that here in just a moment. And you'll see the mercy of God in spite of Jonah on the life of these mariners. God, listen, do you know God is glorified in spite of us? Listen, as a child of his, he's going to chasten you because he loves you. He loves us. But he wants us to walk with him. And the best way to glorify the Lord is in step with him. But if we walk contrary to him as a child of God, he'll receive the glory anyway. He will get the glory, and you'll see that here in the life of Jonah. That's not an excuse to say, well, then it doesn't really matter. No, listen, it will matter when you stand before him. You'll see it makes all the difference in the world if you expect to hear well done. And so that's what God wants us to hear. So notice again, verse 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, lowercase g. They were false gods. And cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. That's their livelihood. They were so afraid. You ever see people so afraid? Hey, let's get rid of it. Let's just get rid of it. We've got to act right now, or our lives are in jeopardy. And they didn't even know if that was going to help, but they were willing. They were at a point and place in their life that what they were living for didn't even matter in their own lives. That's where we got to come to, where we can look at the things that we think we're living for don't even matter when we're confronted with something that might be life-threatening in that particular situation. Listen, even more important than our physical life is our spiritual life. So they're throwing everything into the ocean. Verse 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. How could that be? He was so dead to the things of this world and this life that needed God that he was able to sleep. Remember, the mariners were afraid. They're not afraid if they're just being rocked to sleep. We're talking there's jarring going on. If you've ever been on the ocean and you crest a wave and the boat hits, it's not just a gentle thing. It will wake you up and it will cause you to be fearful. And he was sleeping. What if this whole world, and it is, in a tempestuous mess, and God's people are fast asleep. Verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? I don't think that was a compliment. Arise, call upon thy God. Isn't that amazing? Listen, something they saw in Jonah, even on the run, caused them to see he was different. Maybe because they were in Joppa, which is in Israel, that they just figured he knew the real God. Capital G. Call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Now why? Because calling on their gods obviously didn't do anything. The world's gods will never do a single thing for them. And here's this condition in this situation, and they're asking him to do this. And maybe there's a little conviction. That's pretty bad when the world says, hey, call upon you. We're in a mess. You're not doing it. You're sleeping. What do you mean to be asleep on the job? Where are you at? I think it's important for God's people to be awake in the will of God. And that's not going to happen. We can look at the life of Jonah, but God's speaking to you and I this morning in our relationship and our walk with Him. Are we reading the Scriptures as we should? Are we praying and enjoying it because we sense the presence of God in the midst of the Word of God and in our prayer? Are we seeking and asking God? If that is not taking place, we need to call upon the Lord to make it alive and make it something real that the world wants. It's not that we just do it because we're supposed to do it and because we have to do it. It's because we long to do it. Because God is real and vibrant in our relationship with Him. But this man, Jonah, he was sleeping through it all. I wonder how many people that profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ and do will stand up before the Lord only to find out they were asleep in the things that God wanted them to be awake to. So, verse 7, and they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots and it fell upon Jonah. I don't know a whole lot about the casting lots. It's like drawing straws, right? But God allowed it to work because He was dealing with Jonah. And I want you to understand this. He was also dealing with them. In spite of Jonah, listen, we can either be used for the glory of God, or in spite of us, we can miss out. But God's still going to do a work. Verse 8, and they said unto him, tell us, we pray. So the lot falls upon Jonah in verse 7. Then said they unto him, Jonah, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? So they want some clarification here. They want some answers. I'm beginning to think, or I'm believing, that Jonah is beginning to think that he's been had, that he's been revealed, that God has revealed who he is, and they know it, and they want confirmation. I think they already know. They picked him up from Joppa. They've already asked him to call upon his God. And I think the Lord is allowing these people to say, what are you doing? You've brought this upon us because of your neglect of your relationship with God. You have brought this catastrophe on us. We've already lost our livelihoods. You know, a lot of people forget that. All the wares have been dumped to lighten the boat, remember? Their whole purpose for their journey has now gone into the ocean. And I don't know, but I would dare say, I don't think they're really thinking about that. Maybe a little bit. And I would dare say that didn't make them very happy. But they're more concerned about the storm, no doubt. Verse 9. And he said unto them, time for confession. I am in Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven. What do you think must have run through their thoughts? Really? You fear? That could be just thrown out there. I'm a Christian. I'll blankety blank blank and just throw everything out. Act like the world. Listen to what the world listens to. I fear God. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Lord said that He called us out to make us His righteousness, that we might be called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Into His marvelous light. I wonder how many believers have even discovered His marvelous light that would draw them. What marvelous light are you talking about? The world would say to the believer that's walking in carnality. And that's what's happening in the life of Jonah. Listen, God is wanting us to be vigilant. And if anything, hey, is this not the truth? Why are we here? Why are we here? I am not here to entertain you. I can promise you that. I am here to worship with you. And in doing that, we lift up God. and honor God. And that is my heart's desire. If not, I might as well go home. Because I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm just wanting God to use me to preach His Word. That's it. But it doesn't just stop here. I am wanting God to live in and through my life. That I might walk away from the darkness and walk in His marvelous light. Do you know the light of God is marvelous? It is an amazing place when God allows you to see the destruction of wickedness. You won't be tempted by it. Because you'll enjoy the marvelous light more than the darkness. You'll want to walk in His marvelous light. You know why? Because Christ is there. If it's His marvelous light and you're in it, and you are if you're saved because you're in Him and He's in you. Isn't that what the Bible says? Then you'll enjoy it. This is not the message the world wants to hear, but it's the message that God's people ought to want to hear. Because this will ring true throughout eternity. Do you know why? Because it's God's Word. And this has been put in the canon of Scripture for our example, that we might evaluate our life and make sure we're not doing what Jonah's doing. So they said, "Tell us who you are," and he did. "I fear the Lord," verse 9, "the God of heaven, which hath made sea and the dry land." Now, watch what happens in verse 10. And again, remember, this is Jonah's carnality. Now we find the mariner's cry, but now we see Jonah's confession and repentance. He's admitting it. Hey, listen, I'm doing wrong. But what's going on now? Verse 10, "Then were the mariners exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this?" They said that to Jonah. "You did this. Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." There comes a time and place where you can't hide. There comes a time and place, and ought to be, really, and the child of God ought to walk in that. I think Jonah, really, didn't he keep that from them? He didn't volunteer that information at the beginning. But I don't think he could help himself. I think he had to say what the truth was. And I'm convinced, you know why? Because he is in the presence of God. God was right there in that tempest, wasn't he? And there will be people that have rejected and they lie and they don't like the truth that will stand before God Almighty and they will confess and they will bow. They won't be able to help themselves. They will do it on their own. They will know it is the thing, and they will want to do it, and they will do it. The sad part will be it'll be too late. When they stand before the majesty of God, and I know on this side of eternity, "Oh no, I won't do that." You ever hear people say, "Oh, I won't be afraid of anything," and then the first ones to cry. And there will be a lot of people like that before the Lord that will cry out that He is the Lord of lords and King of kings on a bended knee. And I say this, we don't wish that upon anybody. We wish that they would do that through salvation. And so here's this case. Here he is. They were exceedingly afraid because he was telling them, he told them, I'm running from the Lord. And notice verse 11. "Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea might be calm unto us?" They believed every word he said. And they believed that his God was God. "For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." So now watch what happens. Ready? Verse 12. "And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land." So they knew which direction land was at. And here's this big storm. And Jonah, now here's why I mentioned it earlier. Remember, they threw all their wares into the ocean, their livelihood. There's no doubt they had understanding of that. And they looked at Jonah and they didn't say, yep, throw him over. Cost me everything. No. Listen, I believe when mankind has their hearts and minds opened up to the truth, and no doubt these lost men did, and no doubt Jonah did, we have God's compassion for life. And I believe that's what they had. How many, listen, today, if that were to happen, which is the same day as this day, today if you had a group of sailors that just threw all their wares into the ocean, if God was not in on it, we're selfish without God, we would throw Jonah in the water. I would say that we would throw Jonah in the water without God. But they didn't do that. You can look at our society and you can look at all the atrocities that have taken place on a lie, on the things that are said that are not true, let alone if we've lost everything of our livelihood, they would have thrown him in. But see, God was working. And they were understanding, and this is important because verse 13 says, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought, and it was tempestuous against them. Wherefore, now watch this. Listen, this is what I'm telling you. Jonah was running from God and was not being the light that God wanted him to, but God was going to be glorified in spite of that. And it's not an excuse for Jonah. Tell me if it is. I promise you won't find that in the Word of God. Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord. Remember, they were crying out to their gods earlier. Now they're beseeching the Lord. We beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done it as it has pleased thee. Isn't that amazing? He's Lord now. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. But they called him Lord now. That's not an excuse for Jonah. But God was glorified in spite of Jonah's neglect of his commission and command that had been given to him by God. By the way, 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21 and 1 Peter 2:9, those were not recommendations. Those were commands. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I promise you, in the mind of God, that was not a recommendation, if you like it or not. It's for us to enjoy. It's not. It should not be anything grievous. It should be something, wow, by the grace of God, I can walk out of the darkness that was destroying my life, that gave me no hope, in his marvelous light. But he was not willing to receive it. So they took up Jonah and they cast him, verse 15, into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered sacrifices unto the Lord and made vows. Wow. Tell me something didn't happen there. They saw with their own eyes the power of God. And if you're saved, you have too. If you're saved, you know it. You know it. Back to Jonah, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jesus called it a whale. It's not a shark. That's what some people say. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. God prepared something for Jonah, didn't he? He was not done with Jonah. I want you to know that's God's mercy. That's God's mercy to give Jonah another opportunity. Where is he putting him? He's bringing him back to where God... Listen, do you know what happens when we step out of the will of God? This is the will of God, this direction. And it's a linear will because we leave this life and go on to heaven, right? So there's going to be an end. We don't just keep repeating it. But when we go out of the will of God, we take a detour. And we're not moving towards God. And wherever we're at, how far we're at, we get put back right where we were at to walk. Why? Why would we want to miss anything that God has for us? I'll tell you why. Preconceived notions that aren't true. Had he just submitted and just said, Lord, I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust you and rejoice, But see, what happens is when we lean to our own understanding, we start looking at the Ninevites as something we shouldn't look at them as. They are souls from whom Christ died for. But he didn't see it that way. He got to looking at his pedigree instead of realizing that it was the grace of God that put him there. Wherever you're at, God made you the way that you are. Everybody in this room has cause to praise God for the brain he put in your head. And for the heart that beats, that moves the blood around. Everybody has cause to praise the Lord. So God prepares this fish, swallows up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I would dare say he wished he probably would have listened to the Lord. That probably was not a pleasant experience. And so what happens? Why was God doing this? Look at the work of God. Did he let Jonah make a choice? I don't understand these people that say we don't have a choice. Because if he didn't have a choice, he'd have been in Nineveh, but he was going to Tarshish. Was that the will of God? No, God let him make that choice. Now he's back going to Nineveh in the belly of a whale. And the mariners got saved in spite of Jonah, didn't they? God saved them. Jonah could have made a better testimony in Nineveh. And yet, listen, even in our wicked ways and our rebellion, God will still glorify himself. You know why? Because God is God. And people don't realize that. And so now where is Jonah? He's been brought to the place to cry for God's mercy. But here's the truth. God has been merciful to him the whole time. That tempest was a mercy to Jonah to bring him back. And that he might acknowledge the truth as he did before those mariners. And now it's another opportunity to ask God for forgiveness. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. And thou heardest my voice. Now let me ask you this. Do you think the belly of that fish is going to be anything like hell is like? No. But may I tell you something? It felt like hell to Jonah. Listen, I've never been in there, and you haven't either. And we can rejoice in that. But here's the truth. It was not a pleasant experience. It was not. And yet he cried out unto the Lord. Why? Because of the affliction. There was affliction. Do you know when God's people that have gone astray turn back? When there's affliction. When there's affliction. How much more affliction do we need as God's people in the United States of America? How much more affliction do we need before we will turn back to God and say, oh God, forgive me, forgive our nation, and restore us to where it's something that is not just a good idea. It preoccupies our minds every day and every moment of every day. Do you think, remember, 3 days and three nights. Do you think Jonah ever forgot he was in the belly of that whale for a moment? For a moment. Not for one moment. How about you and I? Do we forget how our country is going and has been going for many, many years? Since my lifetime, I can tell you, I can see the decline in our nation. And yet, how often do we cry out to God for his mercy and forgiveness? How much more do we need to get our attention before we'll cry out to God and say, oh God, revive me. Wake me up. Wake my family up. Wake my church up. There's a storm that's brewing. Wake our country up and set us back on your paths. That regardless what comes, we would be faithfully seeking you and pleasing to you. And God wants his people to be alive in him and walking with him and he in them. if we'll but ask and have it and see how much we truly need it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for your word, the truth that it reveals, the wisdom that it brings. And Lord, I pray that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit to be submissive to you and to seek you, that you might choose to glorify yourself in and through us. You've promised to, Lord, as we seek you. And I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified here at Northwood Baptist Church and amongst your people, not just today, but every day, that we might have a heart and a hunger for you. Bless the invitation, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.